I want to talk this morning to pick up a bit of what Claire said in her speak in December, where she spoke, as many of you will remember, about the throne room. It's what I would call transcendence. Throne room experiences are experiences with the transcendence of God. That is to say, the fact that God is shatteringly other than us. So these people see the throne, and I'm just going to look briefly at those because Claire covered them. Please go back and listen to it. Although the recording is not fantastic, it is well worth the effort. Because she spoke about these four experiences that people had of the glory of God and the throne of God. And I believe we're going to come into days where that is more of our experience than it has been. But it takes something to cope with that. And it doesn't happen for everybody. And it is like, you know, there are two manifestations of God. There is the transcendence of God. I wrote this, the transcendence of God brings the fear of the Lord into your life. Okay, so everybody there on their face, they're overwhelmed. We'll read some of the words that describe their people's responses to the transcendent God. And you may have prayed for a throne room experience. Be aware that it takes some coping with, because he is other than us. He is completely glorious and high and lifted up and amazing, and rainbows and emeralds and seas of glass and living creatures with four faces, and you know, you couldn't make it up really. And it affects you. But there's another manifestation of God. Well, let me read what I wrote about transcendence. You relate to transcendence with awestruck wonder. Remember that song? Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Anybody experienced that? Anybody been filled with awestruck wonder at the mention of his name? They didn't dare say the name of Jesus around Catherine of Siena. She passed out at the mention of his name. Well, you've all sung that. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. You've never actually experienced it. I certainly never have. Just that his name is so transcendent that you're a goner at the mention of his name. And that's what transcendence does. It fills you with wonder. Awestruck wonder. Because God is shattering the other. Your bodily systems blow their fuses. And we'll look at, going to look just briefly at some one or two of the scriptures that say that. Your bodily, if you get involved with transcendence, don't think you're going to get up and go away and cook the dinner. It isn't going to happen, guys. It may take you a while to recover. I do think he wants to do that. I do think he's going to give some of us experience of that. It brings the fear of the Lord. I had an experience where I saw the Holy Spirit. There's been some contention that it was the Holy Spirit. I think it was the Holy Spirit because he received worship, and angels will not, even if they're absolutely incredible, and you can read that in Scripture as well. I saw this incredible angel and I fell down before him and he said, don't do that. Worship God. But the person that I saw received worship and I was flat on my face because he was God. And it was an awesome experience. And I kept saying to him, How dare we say no to you? How dare we say no to you? And I think if you put your hand on your heart, you'd have to, in all honesty, say that at least now and again, you've said, no, 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 ask someone else. No, no, I'm going, I can't. No, it's too embarrassing. No, it's too much. No, it's... Sorry?
I'm too busy.
That one. Right, right in my heart. I'm too busy right now. Whatever. I couldn't. So for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks after I had this experience, I couldn't say no to him. Whatever he said, the answer was yes. I like Kenneth Copeland. He says, when God speaks to him, he says, yes, sir. Because he's got the lordship issue sorted out. So you may well have an experience of God. You will, if you see God in his transcendence, you will see God in his almightiness. Many of you remember Nard bringing a word that was so anointed of the Holy Spirit, where God said, I am almighty, I am almighty, I am almighty. Are you listening? I am almighty. I will show you how almighty I am. I know that that was God. And his almightiness causes us to adore and to willingly submit to his will. Because you don't want to say no to him if you've seen his almightiness. He's the Lord. He says, jump, you say, how high? On how many occasions? When? Now? Next week? Every day for a year? Whatever, God. Whatever. So, we're going to look at some of this. Not very much of it, probably. Lost my pace now. Here we go. Okay, Isaiah 6. First off, these are the ones, I'm just very quickly going to run through the ones that Claire did. She read them beautifully, and the fear of the Lord came into the room as she read them. I wonder if you remember that. I certainly do. Okay, Isaiah 6. I'm not going to read it all, but verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Just and Isaiah says, woe is me. That's his response. But what I want you to notice is that God is high and lifted up, but his train fills the temple. High, 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 exalted high, but his train is in the temple, which is on the earth. He is in this partnership with us where he doesn't want to be so transcendent that nobody can relate. So incredible and so glorious and so wonderful, and it doesn't affect you and me except to make us step back. And there's a distance because he's other than us. He wants to be in partnership with you. He wants the train of his robe to fill the temple. What does it say in the New Testament? Don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are a temple yourself, and his robe fills your temple. The transcendence is within. That's really awesome. Turn to Ezekiel 2. Oh, look, I got there really quick. Claire read this, the living creatures, all of the different things that Ezekiel saw. A really, really, really incredible experience of transcendence. But we're going to go down to the last verse of the chapter. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down. Don't you think you would? Look at Ezekiel 43. Verse 1. Are you there? Okay. Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters. Revelation. And the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kabar River. And the glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And he said, verse 7, Son of man, this is the place of my throne, and the place for the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. God says, Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. And then later he says, I will make the place of my feet glorious. You are the place of his feet. Heaven is the throne. He actually establishes the throne within you. And then he says, where I put my feet, that will be glorious. This is the place of my feet. Earth is the place of my feet. You are the place of my feet. His feet. What did God say? Jacob says, This is the house of God. This is the very gate of heaven in Genesis, doesn't he? When he's seen the ladder, he's God was in this place. I didn't know. Put your hand on your heart. God is in this place. In his transcendence, I believe that. He's come into you. This is the place of his throne. This is the place of God's throne in you. And Ezekiel talks about being overwhelmed for 7 days. I don't know what that looks like, but when he'd seen it, he was overwhelmed for 7 days. Look at Daniel 7. Just running quickly through these. Daniel's just a bit further on. Verse 18. Again, Claire read these amazing scriptures. Do listen to them. But this is what after he's seen the vision of Jesus and coming to the Ancient of Days and taking the book out of his hand, this is what he says. Verse 18. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. Having given a description of what the kingdom is like. Everlasting dominion. He says, the saints... And I was going to read that scripture that I quoted this morning. What did Jesus say? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. They were well-taught Jews. They understood. Their brain goes back. They learn the scriptures off by heart in school, these kids. They know that what it says in Daniel is that the saints of the will be given the kingdom. They know that. It's not news to them. So Jesus says to them, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And they're going, like it says in Daniel, we're going to get the kingdom. So read this scripture, moving on to verse 27. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints. Can I read that again? Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. Forrest Gump says, that's all I have to say about that. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale. Turn over and look at chapter 8, verse 17. As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. Here you go. Responses to the closeness of God coming near. As he came near, I was terrified. I fell prostrate. Verse 18. While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Unconscious, one would feel. Then he touched me and raised me to my feet. Verse 27, I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. If someone was ill, you'd say, I don't know if it was God, it made him ill. But here it is. Yes. Can it possibly be that they had a revelation of God? They've been ill for days since. But what does he say? Then I got up and went about the king's business. So he's got to go to work, for heaven's sake. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. I love it. I just love these responses. 10 verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food. No meat or wine touched my lips. And I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. Fasting, smelling bad, no lotions for 3 weeks. I'll just quickly run through these. I won't give you the scriptures because the time's going. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. Anybody ever been trembling? I stood up trembling. I've seen that. I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. The one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. Come on, Lord. Give us the word of the Spirit. I was overcome with anguish. I am helpless. My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. And I was strengthened. There is a physical response often to this. But it's coming. A nod, and I went to the David's Tent meeting last Saturday. They sang an amazing song. Which line was, he is coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? We say that we want to encounter God and we want to be glory carriers, but do you? Do you really? Do you? I know somebody who felt that God told them to kneel down on the platform at the station and worship, so they did. How about it? Oh, God, would you be so real to us that we can't help ourselves? Would you be so real to us that we tremble? Would you be so real to us that we say, oh, God, I'm overwhelmed? Amen. So, Revelation 1, verse 12, really quickly. I keep saying that, don't I? Not very good at quick. This is the New Testament expression of transcendence. where John himself, the Lord's best friend, is utterly overwhelmed by seeing him. I can't find Revelation. It's at the end. Okay, here we go. Revelation 1, verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Among the lampstands was someone like a son of man. Like a son of man. Like a son of man. A son of man in heaven. And this is what he looked like. Dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. This is his best friend. This is his response to transcendence, to the glorified Christ. And that is one aspect of who God is. And like I said, it brings the fear of the Lord when that comes near you. And you are overwhelmed and you are changed. And I tell you, I don't think you're ever the same. You have that kind of experience, you'll not be the same. But Jesus did not display the transcendence of God when he was on the earth, except for a moment at the transfiguration. Just for a moment. It's like he opened the cloak and the glory poured out. But I believe with all my heart that we are called to be glory carriers. That the transcendence of God is within us. And I don't know if you've ever had anybody where the glory has flashed out and touched you. But I have. Where that which is within, which is an incredible thing. How many of you have seen Aladdin? Disney's Aladdin. You know? Where the genie says, mega cosmic power. You know, and this blah, it's filling the whole universe. And he goes zoop into the lamp and says, in a little bitty, itty living space. That's what God's done. Mega cosmic power. Hands that throw stars into space come to live inside you. Adam and Eve, I believe, carried the glory. And when it was removed for them through disobedience, they felt naked. I believe they carried the glory. I believe they were clothed with the glory. This is Romans 3:22. You know this scripture really well. Well, first, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Righteousness comes to those who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, not and fall short of God's righteousness, not have sinned and fall short of God's holiness. They fall short of the glory because they are designed for the glory. Anybody do verse 24 without looking at it? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. Yes, you fall short of the glory all the time, but you're justified freely by his grace. You must never quote one bit of that without the other, because it's our hope. It's our hope. We're justified. Yes, we all keep falling short. We know that. As the American preacher said, Jesus saves us from my falling shorts. And then didn't know why the congregation laughed. Anyway, moving on. So, we have fallen short of the glory of God because of sin, but we're justified now. 1 Corinthians 11:7. 1 Corinthians 11:7. just quickly, this is in a really contentious chapter, and I'm not going to get into head coverings, no matter what anybody asks me. But this is what it says. A man ought not to cover his head. I won't say a thing. A man ought not to cover his head since he is the image and glory of God. Did you get that? Man is the glory of God. He is the image and glory of God. Yes, you are. Go home and think about that. Romans 8, 28. Sorry, we're going to do them really quick. Romans 8, 28. Yeah. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. That might have been quoted this morning as well. Who have been called according to his purpose. Okay, so what's the purpose? God's got a purpose. Everything's working together for good for the purpose. You want to know what the purpose is? For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Remember the last scripture? Justified. Those he justified, he also
glorified
you. He glorified you. This was the purpose from the beginning. Come through the paragraph, read the last bit. This is what it was all about. This is where it's all going. This is why all things are working together for good, so you can be glorified. Wow. So you can't quote the first bit, all things are working together for good in my life, if you don't quote the last bit, which is, so I can be glorified. So I am glorified. Good scriptures, aren't they? John 17, 22. Oh, I'm just fulfilling my dear friend Richard's prophetic words. He said she always talks about the glory. Here we are again. This is Jesus speaking. I have given them the glory that you gave me. I'm sorry? You gave them what? I have given them the glory that you gave me. How glorified is Jesus? I gave them that, Lord. I shared it with them. I gave them the glory that you gave me. We could spend a while on that. We won't. Hebrews 2:10. Sorry, I'm dashing about, but I know you can follow because you've all got these wonderful phones, whereas I'm doing it here and I've forgotten where Hebrews is. Here we are. Hebrews 2:10. In bringing many sons to... In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting. It's what Jesus did, brought many sons to glory. Romans 9:23. I'll stop in a minute, I promise. Romans 9:23 said, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for... glory. He prepared you in advance for glory. You're not an also-ran and I might make it by the skin of my teeth kind of person, but I definitely don't qualify for the glory kind of a person. You're not that. You're prepared in advance for the glory. Okay, put your hand on your heart. I am prepared in advance for the glory. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that utterly stunning? Isn't that life-changing? You're prepared in advance for the glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Make it real to us. Colossians 3:4. Anybody feel they're not getting enough of the word this morning? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Wow. You're going to appear with him in glory. You're going to feel as though you belong. You're going to say, me and my bro, Jesus, we're in the glory together. And it's not pride, and it's not arrogance. It's just the fact. It's what he's done. It's why he died. He wants to bring many sons to glory. He's not interested in having a group of people around who say, I can't believe it. I don't believe it. She may have all those scriptures. I think she's making them up. Well, let's see. I've got two more pages. Anyway. We're just going to look at this one really quickly before I talk about suffering. I know you're going to be really interested in that. Oh, I have to do 2 Thessalonians 1:12, right? Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:12. That's this way. Oh, no, it can't be. It must be this way. Oh, come on, Lord, help me. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 1:12 says this. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. His name is glorified in you, and you, Katie, are glorified in him. He knows your name. We sang it this morning. He's glorified in you. How about that? He's glorified in you. He's glorified in you, and you are glorified in him. I won't go through these scriptures, but you know it says in 2 Corinthians 3:7 that we go from one degree of glory to another by gazing at him, contemplating him, reflecting as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As you gaze at Jesus, you go from one degree of glory to another. So there's more and more and more glory for you, always. You've never sort of reached the level. There's always more glory to be had. And John 17 says, just wait and I'll get there. Here we are. It says, verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave me, we talked about that, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. I want them to see my glory. I tell you, what you gaze at, you're transformed into. You gaze at grotty stuff on the television, you'll be transformed into that image, unfortunately. The eye gate is very powerful. If you gaze at Jesus, you will be transformed into his image and into his glory. Come and look at him. It says that the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, that's what we're singing about, looking at Jesus who is showing us the glory of God, and we are being changed. And if you look at that exclusively, the world grows strangely dim. That is no attraction whatsoever, because you're looking at the glory. You are a glory carrier, whether you believe it or not. But we're going to pray that God will so reveal it to us. Remember what I said? Revelation that doesn't turn into transformation becomes
information.
Well, I don't want to inform you about the glory. I want to see you transformed and carrying it in such a manner that the world knows that God sent Jesus. Because you carry his glory, and people look at you and say, woo. And I know that the Bible, I've said this before, but I know the Bible says he doesn't share his glory with another, and he doesn't. He is glorifying his son in you. Not you, Jesus in you. You carry the Godhead in you. Right, quickly run through these. Oh, there's loads more, but here we go. New life by means of the glory. If you believe you display the glory. If you give thanks, it's to God's glory. In everything, giving thanks, this is for the glory of God. The Amen is spoken by us for God's glory. So when you agree with one of God's promises, it brings glory to God. He meets all your needs according to his riches in glory.
Yes.
He has power over your body, it says, because of the glory. And he's bringing glory to the Father's name in the church. Couldn't we spend a week on all of that? Okay, just quickly, Romans 5, 1 to 3. We're going to look at what might happen as we get into some of these battles. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Are you rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God? Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, this is one of several scriptures where glory and suffering are linked together. I'm sorry, I wish it wasn't so, but it is. Try 8, 17 to 18. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. I wish I could stop there, but I can't. It says, if we indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may share in his glory. Suffering, glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Whatever you're going through, and we might go through some things next year, it's not worth considering in comparison to the glory that is being revealed. It's just not. Hebrews 2, 9 to 10. Last scriptures, honest. This is Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. So that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus, thank you so much. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. We're of the same family, guys. There's more scriptures on suffering and glory, but I won't do them. It's not worth comparing. Jesus didn't think it was worth comparing the suffering to the glory, to the joy that was set before him to have you. He didn't think it was worth thinking about. Despise the shames, not set. Said they're worth it. They're worth it. And you are. But oh, that you would carry the glory. Oh, you would be the one who stands in your space. Nobody else can occupy your space in the world. Nobody. And that you would carry the glory there. You would be glorified in him as he is being glorified in you. That there would be an outflow of glory from this place. That glory carriers would get together on a Sunday morning and declare the glory of God. Radiate it. In Isaiah 40, in Ezekiel 43, it says, Chris and I were talking about this on Friday night in the prayer meeting, the land was radiant with his glory. Would you make this land radiant with your glory, Lord? Would you do that for us? Would you so come amongst us and give us an understanding of these scriptures? I know I've run through so many and I've left out so many. It's awesome. You begin to study it and you begin to think, my goodness, we are glorious. We're designed to be. We're designed to show forth his glory. And I pray it for all of us, Lord, that revelation would come to us of the glory of God in us, as well as the glory of God that is transcendent and outside of us. I pray that revelation would come that transforms us, that we would know who we are and what we carry and what Jesus paid for. He paid to bring us to the glory. Oh God, may your people be glorious. May they shine. That's what your word says. They shine like stars in the universe. Then you go and talk about that and you call it the glory. You say, the glory of the sun is one thing, the glory of the moon is another, the glory of the stars is something else. And you called us to be these incredible pinpricks of glorious light in a dark world. Let's reach your hands up if you want to join me, and I just pray that the glory of God would be our living reality. That we would shine it out and that he would get the glory. It's for you, Lord. It's your glory. It's not our glory. It's your glory that you might be glorified in the midst of your people. In your church, Lord, be glorified. Amen.